Blog Talk Radio.
Graham McDowell pick up his first PGA Tour victory in a couple of years, holding off Jason Bone and Russell Knox in a playoff. And this is a Ryder Cup year. Technically, when Seacrest counts us down and we hit midnight on New Year's Eve, it'll become a Ryder Cup year. But this 2015-16 PGA Tour season includes the Ryder Cup. And for Graham getting back in the top 50 in the world, making his schedule easier for next year as he pursues a Ryder Cup bid, being a PGA Tour member and from Northern Ireland, he needed to get back into the top 50. He needed to get these starts. He needed to take the pressure off himself, plus his PGA Tour exemption from winning the U.S. Open and then winning at Harbertown was running out. And as you know, talk to any PGA Tour guy, and they'll tell you there's nothing like the pressure of knowing your exemption is about to run out. So, good to see him win this morning. Hit a heck of a shot. If you haven't seen it, go to PGATour.com or Twitter.com/PGATour from 205 with a 5-iron on the first playoff hole. He did catch a break. Russell Knox faltered in the playoff after he three-putted earlier when the rain and the wind was up this morning in Mayakoba. But good for him. This was a much-needed victory for Graham McDowell. For somebody who, as he told Bill Blackmore after, when you have your skills taken away from you, when you do not play well and you wonder how good you really are, weeks like this reinforce that confidence. And I thought it was fitting for him to win with David Duval in the Golf Channel booth alongside Terry Gannon and Kurt Byram. David Duval had all the talent in the world, former number one player, lost it all, and now is a broadcaster. And basically has given up ever competing competitively in the game of golf. And there were injuries and some other reasons which have compounded David's issues. But I think on a much smaller scale, David knows what Graham went through and Graham knows what David's gone through. It was an interesting juxtaposition. It really was. Hope you had a good weekend. We are here. Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest will join us in about 75 seconds. Jets obviously did not play well, as Luke and I talked about yesterday. Did not play well on Thursday. Poor playing calling compounded to it. And look at Luke's Minnesota Vikings, who are now on top of the NFC North world with Green Bay's loss. That Packer-Viking game next week is going to be fascinating. This is a Packer team that is reeling and realizes that they need to get themselves back on track, because for a while they were undefeated and had a little bit of a cushion over the Vikings. Now they don't. And if you don't win these tiebreakers, you are in rough shape. So that's that. We're going to come back in 30 seconds with Steve Hennessy. We're going to talk Steph Curry, Larry Fitzgerald, PGA Tour, Young Guns. A lot of good stuff coming up with Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest, Associate Editor, in 30 seconds. This is PGA Tour. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes. Search Teeing It Up in the podcast section for all archive shows going back to 2011.
Sometimes tough isn't enough.
Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show the associate editor from Golf Digest, Mr. Stephen Hennessy. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Jeremy?
I'm good. Let's start here. You guys just did the Hot List Summit, which we can't talk about because all that stuff is secret. But what we can talk about is that Larry Fitzgerald showed up, which is an interesting way to spend your bye week because from what you've told me, the Hot List is a very long day and a very physical day for these testers testing all this stuff. And here's an all-pro wide receiver on his off week trying to, you know, have an intense workout. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's just how big of a golfer that Larry Fitzgerald is. It's crazy how into it he is. On the road when he's with the Cardinals, he'll play on Saturdays and he'll set up his golf based on the courses in the area. So before they played Chicago, I think it was last year, he played Chicago Golf Club with Kevin Streelman, and he plays all the time at Whisper Rock with bunch of tour pros there. And yeah, on his off week, you know, it was I think a Friday or a Thursday, he reached out to us and was like, hey, I would love to do this. So he came and tried the latest clubs on the market, and yeah, it was hilarious. He kills the ball, obviously. He's about a 14. His short game is great. He's probably a scratch player for a short game, and his driver either gets all of it and bombs at 300, or it goes a little right or left. But he was working with our fitters and our equipment editors, and he was really into it. And it was funny, we had to clear out, it was a double-sided range that we used there at the Wigwam in Arizona, and we had to clear out the other side of the range just because if he got a hold of one, someone would have been in danger for sure. So it was fun to watch, and he couldn't have been a better guy too. He was all into it.
What interests me about what you said with the range is from covering college football for 5 years, the one thing that I never kind of realized until I started covering these guys is how big and strong they are. And even if their golf swings aren't great, they can connect with one. And for somebody like Larry, who obviously somewhat knows what he's doing, that is a health risk for those people if they're in the wrong spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Larry's huge, and, he's ripped. I shook his hand, and, my hand disappeared in his. It's no wonder why he can catch 100 catches a year at, however old he is, age 34. And, his career speaks for itself, but his golf swing is pretty remarkable. I mean, everyone was just in awe watching him on the range, just killing the ball.
Speaking of guys who kill it, this whole Cespedes thing must have been fascinating for you guys because you guys as a magazine love name brand people who are golf addicts, and then suddenly golf becomes a focal point for the whole World Series.
Yeah, apparently he's a huge golf created a little controversy, but who knows how much that affected him. I guess Mets fans would have a better opinion of that. But certainly, someone we have our mind on now that he's a known golfer and he's declared himself a huge golfer before games and such. So he apparently kills the ball too. So
yeah. What fascinates me about the start of the 2015-16 PGA Tour season with all these first-timers and all these young guns is that you, in one of your roles for the magazine, writing the What's in My Bag feature, get to talk to so many of these guys once they become known to diehard golfers but maybe aren't quite PGA Tour champions yet. So you've interacted with a lot of these guys. Has it surprised you how many first-time winners we've had so far?
Certainly in a row. The five guys in a row that have won, it's unbelievable. But that being said, capable and they have the talent, and how competitive the lower ranks of competitive golf are, they know that prepares them to go out and get it done, you know, on a Sunday. So while it is crazy that we've had so many young guys in a row do it, it's sort of, it's just how golf is at this point, and it's pretty cool.
And what fascinates me about Justin specifically, and maybe you got this from talking to him, is that for such a slim guy, he's not built, he's not jacked, he doesn't look like somebody that would hit it as far as he does. It forces you to have to play a different way, and his golf swing has been built for speed and has been built for power. And the thing that I thought with him, with the help of obviously Jordan Spieth, his best friend, is that when he learned how to hit the finesse shots and dial it down just a tad, he would be able to contend and to win more consistently. He obviously now has the first win. And if he can realize when to harness his power and when to not harness his power, this is somebody who's got the pedigree to contend week after week after week and potentially start to win majors, which would be fascinating for somebody who does not have the 2015 golf physique.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's a college golfer of the year as a freshman, went toe-to-toe with Jordan Spieth. They obviously have a great relationship, and they kid all the time. When he and I spoke last year, it was right after Spieth had won back-to-back weeks in Australia, and then, you know, flew thousands of miles back for Tiger's tournament and then won there. And it was that week that I was talking to Justin, and you could tell, like, while he was proud for Spieth and, you know, obviously wishes well for his buddy, the competitive side of him was like, man, you know, he knew that could be him. And now it is him. Now he's in the winner's circle. He beat the best players in the world on the PGA Tour. He was in the fall series. So, you know, he's got to do it on a bigger stage, obviously, before we could expect him to win a major, I think, you know, a World Golf Championship or, you know, even an event on the Florida Swing or a bigger tournament. But he knows he's capable of it, that's for sure. And like you said, how small in stature he is, it's true, just standing next to him, I mean, it looks like he would be a point guard on a basketball team or, you know, a second baseman on a baseball team. And he's really, you know, not a big guy at all. He's, I think 135 is pretty accurate. He's 5'11", maybe. So it just shows that it doesn't matter what your size is, you can still kill the ball. That's encouraging to your average golfer, I think, too.
Speaking of undersized point guard, Steph Curry, who is on the Golf Digest cover this month, what perfect timing for that. here's somebody who his love of the game has become so clear. Last time you were on this show, we talked about your time seeing him at Pebble Beach. To me, I think he's the guy that proves that A, golf is hip, B, golf is cool, and C, you can still be a very good basketball player and play golf during the off season. What a start, and what timing for you guys to have him on the cover.
Yeah, obviously Steph's a superstar, and having an awesome year in the NBA, and it's just the start of what should be a great career for him. And his love of golf is true. He's all into it, and I spoke to Jerry West about a month ago for another project, and we talked about Steph for most of the conversation, and he said his swing, if he wanted to be, Jerry West said he could probably be a pro golfer, just how athletic he is, and it comes natural to him. His swing, you know, is effortless, and he kills the ball just like any of the other pro guys do. So, you know, if he had the time to devote to a short game, and, you know, really, you know, maybe he could make it, but there's no need for that because he's, you know, one of the top two basketball players in the game, reigning NBA Finals MVP. Yeah, that is pretty neat timing for us, and Steph was all into it, I can tell you that.
Talking to Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest. You also are the executive editor for the Golf Digest Sticks publication, which comes out every Wednesday. And I think people don't realize what that publication is and how good that publication is. So tell the folks out there what Golf Digest Sticks is.
Yeah, we have our weekly magazine that comes out electronically. It's called Golf Digest Sticks. You can sign up for it online at golfdigest.com or just go to golfdigeststicks.com. But what it is, it covers the latest in equipment and gear on a weekly basis. So we're writing about the latest clubs that have been released from companies, and you know, not just clubs, but also style and other accessories, you know, gloves, bags, a lot of apps, smartphone apps that have come out. You know, we're covering all that stuff, and golfers really love it. We've had great response to it. It's in its third year of publication, and yeah, it's a cool thing to be a part of. Our equipment editors, Mike Stachura and Mike Johnson, are, you know, the best in the industry, and they have their finger on the pulse of everything that's coming out equipment-wise. So, yeah, we see our eMag as sort of the leader in golf in terms of what's new and hot and what golfers need to know. So if you're a golfer out there who's sort of a gearhead and you know, want to keep up with the latest, it's kind of a must-read.
I haven't had you on the show since the end of golf summer run. We had Jason Day go nuts. We had Ricky's win in Boston. We had the Spieth Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. We had the President's Cup, which was finally fantastic. What stood out to you about that final summer stretch, basically from the PGA forward?
Well, just the fact that three guys at the top, Spieth, Day, and Rory, they flip-flopped world number one for, like, what was it, 5 or 6 straight weeks there? It was awesome. They were in the news in the full sports cycle on a weekly basis just because it was so intriguing to watch, and that's what the FedEx Cup sort of created, and it was a perfect storm of, you know, Jason Day lighting it up at the end of the year, Jordan Spieth obviously winning the Tour Championship. Yeah, I mean, it's just a sign of how healthy golf is going forward, and I expect Rory to have a really strong 2016. So with those three at the top, and obviously, you know, you got Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, all those other guys, Ricky Fowler, obviously, too, should be an awesome 2016. So, yeah, that end of the year was awesome.
One of the things that fascinates me about you guys, and I've been a subscriber now since 97, so I've read every single Golf Digest issue for that long, is that you guys have portrayed that the game is healthy no matter what. And here we have Tiger, who, except for the Wyndham, did not have a very good 2015. Now has had 2 back surgeries since, and who knows when we'll next be seeing him. And it seems like to me that the non-Golf Digest, Golf Week, Golf Channel world is finally realizing that the health of the game as a whole is in sync with what those inside the game who are watching every week, tweeting about it every week, writing about it every week, think. And to me, I think if Ricky can take that next step up and get his major and make it a big four, to give us whatever title you want to say they are, that the game itself might be in as good a spot to non-golf fans and to golf fans since the heyday of the Tiger era, because we've got 3 or 4 guys here that are as talented as we've seen in a long time, who have different kind of games, and who are as nice and popular and as good people as they are good golfers.
Yeah. And that's a product of how well 2015 started, with the Jordan Spieth winning the Masters in such transcendent fashion. I mean, again, that transformed the golf world, getting a Sports Illustrated cover. Spieth is really the golden boy, and then the full summer of going for the Grand Slam after his U.S. Open win, everyone was watching it. And, you know, that tuned the non-golfer in to these guys who weren't named Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson for probably one of the first times that they did. And what did they see? They saw these guys that look like genuine nice guys, which they are, and just really entertaining. I mean, they put on great shows at all the majors. You know, even though won sort of won people over too. So I think that's a lot of it. It kind of got the non-golfer attached to these guys who they may not have ever watched before or paid that much attention to. They might have seen their name on the bottom line on SportsCenter, but to actually see them in person and, you know, be rooting for them, that creates that emotional connection that golf really needed in 2015. So I think that's going to be huge for pro golf going forward.
The best golf course you played in 2015 is?
I mean, it's got to be Pebble Beach. And it was cool that day. Steph Curry was a couple groups ahead of us. We were the third group off, and I think that they were the third group off, and we were a couple groups behind them. Yeah, Pebble Beach, I mean, the stretch of hole 6 through 8 is unlike any other stretch in golf. I mean, you could say Amen Corner, and, you know, certainly you would be justified in arguing that, or Cypress Point, the last couple holes there, but hole 6 through 8 at Pebble Beach, I call that golf's real Amen Corner now. The Pebble was great. Also played Monterey Peninsula, the short course there. Mike Strance's redesigned in 04. Man, that place is special too. Almost as good as Pebble. And, you know, you can make the argument that a lot of holes at Monterey Peninsula are as good as Pebble. So that was great. I also got a tour of Chicago Golf Club, which has a special place in the home of golf. So, it was a solid summer of golf for me.
Who will have the more successful 2016, Tiger or Phil?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think that's an easy answer. It's got to be Phil. I don't think Tiger's going to be able to tee it up. He had two procedures in a month. I mean, if you're a Tiger Woods fan, this is as low and as discouraged as be since that Thanksgiving night with Ewan with the iron to his car. I mean, he's on bed rest, and the fact that people expect him to come out next year and win, I don't see that. I think his back injuries are really going to limit him in how much he could play this year. So, you know, Phil going to a new teacher in 2016, that should be interesting. Tough to break up with Butch. I mean, Butch is one of everyone's favorite people in golf, and Phil's included. So we'll see what Phil's able to do with his swing. He had some good stretches in 2015, not a lot of them, but he played great at the President's Cup, so it was kind of a surprise to see him leave Butch, but I think Phil's the safe answer there.
And Golf Digest, Butch is Golf Digest's number one teacher once again. My
for the last 11 years,
which is crazy, which is absolutely crazy, the fact that Butch has been that respected, because that ranking is a poll of
peer voted.
Yep.
You know, all teachers vote.
Yep, exactly. And to be recognized recognized by your peers that consistently, with nobody, you know, coming in and topping him, is absolutely fantastic. Here is a story which I think will be vastly underreported next year: Jordan Spieth's quest for more distance. If he can do it right, that is a huge development. If he does it wrong, he is risking changing what has been so fantastic for his game during this rise. If he can do it correctly, I think he's okay. If not, that's something to watch.
Yeah, in 2015, he actually picked up about, I think on average, is maybe 6 to 8 yards. So it obviously wasn't a problem in Augusta where, you know, distance is a boost. Bubba Watson's proved that. I trust Spieth to do things the right way because he has such a good team around him, and if you spend some time around him, you realize that everything's well thought out, things are done for the right reasons, and his coach, Cameron McCormick, has done everything that's right for him since he was age 14. So this is someone who knows Spieth's game in and out, and I don't think he would push Jordan to do anything that would jeopardize his success, because he's been at the top of amateur golf as a teenager, and now he's at the top of professional golf, and everything is worth. So I would keep that in mind as we go forward, that he's probably not going to do anything that jeopardizes his success.
Yes, absolutely. Steve Hennessy, Associate Editor of Golf Digest. Thanks as always for coming on Teeing It Up.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.
It's Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest. We thank him for coming on the show. We thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you for Teeing It Up presents the Sunday Sprint, Sunday morning, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right here. Same place as you found this link. We'll preview all the NFL games coming up this weekend, including that Vikings-Packers showdown. And we'll see you right back here Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time next week for another live edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. For all of us who make this program possible, thank you for listening. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and Tim Cook and the folks at iTunes. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.